Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, Chapter 15,
Text 39. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaur Bhakta Brinda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaur Bhakta Brinda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaur Bhakta Brinda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaur Bhakta Brinda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaur Bhakta Brinda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaur Bhakta Brinda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaur Bhakta Brinda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaur Bhakta Brinda.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Tabe Mahaprabhu Sabe Bhakti Bolaya Godadesha Yaha Sabi Vidaya Kaliya. Thereafter, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called for all the devotees and asked them to return to Bengal. In this way, he bade farewell to them. Sabare kahila prabhu pratya da asya godicha dakiya yabe amare malia. Bidding farewell to all the devotees, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested them to return to Jagannath Puri every year to see him and then see the cleansing of the Gundicha temple. Achayere Agyadila Koriya Shamana Achandala Adi Krishna Bhakti Dionan. With great respect, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested Advaitacharya, give Krishna consciousness devotion to Krishna, even to the lowest of men, Chandalas. This is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order to all his devotees. Krishna bhakti, devotion to Krishna, is open to everyone, even low-class men like Chandalas, that's dog eaters. One should follow this order in disciplic succession, stemming from Sri Advaita and Nityananda, and Prabhu, and distribute Krishna consciousness without discrimination throughout the world. There are different kinds of men, beginning with the Brahmin and going down to the lowest platform, known as Chandala. Whatever one's position, everyone in this age of Kali needs to be enlightened in Krishna consciousness. That is the greatest need of the day. Even in the ranks and files of the American Senate, the pinpricks of material existence are felt, so much so that April 30th, 1974, was actually set aside as prayer day. Thus everyone is feeling the resultant pinpricks of Kali Yuga brought out about by human society indulging in illicit sex, meat-eating, gambling, and intoxication. Now is the time for the members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness to distribute Krishna Bhakti all over the world and thus follow the orders of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Lord has ordered everyone to become a guru. Amar agyai guru hoy tara edesh. Everyone in every town and village should be enlightened by the instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna consciousness should be distributed to everyone indiscriminately. In this way, the entire world will be peaceful and happy, and everyone will glorify Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees. The word chandala actually refers to a dog eater who is considered the lowest of men. Even chandalas can be enlightened in Krishna consciousness due to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's benediction. Krishna bhakti is not the monopoly of a certain caste. Everyone is eligible to receive this great benediction given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Everyone should be given a chance to receive it and be happy. The word dana, meaning charity, is also significant in this verse. Whoever engages in the distribution of Krishna consciousness is a charitable person. Professional men recite Srimad Bhagavatam and discuss Krishna bhakti for an exchange of money. They cannot distribute such exalted transcendental property to everyone and anyone. Only pure devotees who have no motive other than serving Krishna can give such transcendentally valuable benedictions out of charity. Om Gyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Taksurun Mulitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vancha Kalpa Turubhyasya Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Vidadhar Srivasade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this is the at least my last class here, formal class, and this particular pastime is the devotees, after coming to Puri in a Vaishnav Sangha, then going back, and how Lord Chaitanya deals with them. Before that, I wanted to kind of tie a few loose ends. So I wanted to read a little bit from the article by the exalted New York City subway conductor Sathari, who wrote such a great article. So I'll read some of my notes on this. Just a few. Devotee musicians or ragis feel that humans are affected by these changes both within our physical systems and subtle energy systems, and use music or sound to invoke those moods and change, and those moods and changes in the service of increasing spiritual devotion. So music is used, and the people who understand the science of rag know that it affects physical systems and subtle systems within your body to invoke moods and changes. for the service of making one open to spiritual devotion. Rags have direct relationship to deep transcendental states of the soul and waken it to its true nature of love and devotion. Unfortunately, I can't read my note here. They make the simple... No, it's not. Something they make something aware of their soul's original devotional nature. This is one of my favorite ones. The soul will never be happy without spiritual love and an eternal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The expression of this relationship is bhava, and when it is expressed through the discipline of music, it is called kirtan. Should I read that again? Isn't that a nice definition? The soul will never be happy without spiritual love and an eternal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The expression of this relationship is bhava, and when it is expressed through the discipline of music, it is called kirtan. Nice definition. One more. Rag and tal both have external rules to create devotional moods of love and service. The elements of the music or rag are woven in with the words of the divine poetry to create a temperament of divine love. In fact, when perfectly rendered, the music or rag recedes into the background, allowing the mantra to awaken the eternal relationship of love and service. So that's nice. When it's actually done properly, that recedes and you're left with the name. And I notice this, listening to kirtan, you know, again, the little person inside that directs your concentration. Even in the one sense of the ear, there's so many sounds coming in. That person on the control panel can say, listen to the rhythm, listen to the singing. I've seen that. I sometimes hear the drum, and then I don't hear the mantra, even though the mantra is there. And then if I can't, I can hear the mantra. So it's so nice how he explains this. When the rag and the tal... when the rag and the tal is done in the proper way, then it enhances the mantra, and that recedes to a supporting way. The eternal this then causes such devotional sentiments to manifest in the mind and heart of the devotee singing and listening to the mantras. Thus the material conditioning of the soul is overcome, and the eternal relationship with God is awakened. It's a very beautiful concept of that relationship. It's an article in the Journal of Vaishnav Studies on kirtan. But next time you're riding the New York subway, don't make any prejudgments about the conductors. You never know who you're going to be meeting. Now, what's that?
Especially if he wears a turban.
That's true. So now, this is a very beautiful story here that Lord Chaitanya is saying goodbye to the devotees that have come. And when he says goodbye to the devotees that come, he does something that's very, very interesting, and I think it's a great example for leadership of any kind. What he does is he first recognizes people's special qualities, and then gives them service according to those qualities. See, the whole process of bhakti, again, is absorption in Krishna.
And it manifests in different ways. Again, you know, when you're with Borijan Prabhu, there's so many pearls of wisdom that I keep on remembering them. I remember at a particular time, again, maybe to protect himself from frivolous talk when he has so much things to do. When you come in his room sometimes, he asks a question that's kind of makes you think. A little challenging. So I'll ask the question to you. And I'll tell you why he asked that question. What is your taste in Krishna consciousness? What is your taste in Krishna consciousness? And then what he said is, your taste for Krishna consciousness is like the door that God gives you to enter into the spiritual world. So I remember, you know, I asked Borijan, you know, the real thing for him was Vrindavan. And I remember he asked Radhanath Swami when he came into the room what his taste was. And he said, he may have said serving my god brothers and god sisters or serving the devotees. So each person has an individual taste. From reading the Shastra to serving in a particular way to it's a very, very beautiful thing. And the specific expertise, Prabhupada says in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that what is a spiritual master? He finds the ways and means to engage the disciple in devotional service. We had that nice presentation from Yadubar and Vishaka. Prabhupada took a journalist and photographer and absorbed them in Krishna consciousness. Just absorbed them in Krishna consciousness. And now it's nice when they're doing that Prabhupada film, now they'll be able to do the same thing to other people that are coming. And that's how bhakti awakens. Can you imagine how much Yadubar and Vishaka Prabhus, how much they have to think of Krishna editing a film? Yeah, just Prabhupada and Prabhupada and Prabhupada and Prabhupada. How does... It's absorbing. And now the kirtan movement, you know, all the youth, that, you know, music is such a culture. And Krishna consciousness becomes so attractive because it's not renunciation, it's dedication. So if you have that bhava and that musical thing and the drums and the rhythm and the, you know, wow. You know, you enter into a religion where the thing that so much pervades your whole consciousness becomes your devotional service. So it's such an amazing thing. And all the things. And therefore, Prabhupada, he was just so expert at engaging people in so many different varieties of ways. You know, from the artists to the cooks to the managers to the... So... And therefore, the lesson to the leader is what's called empowerment. And I thought of this very, very carefully and if I have a pet peeve, is I really hate disempowerment. I really like to see people empowered. And sometimes older people, you know, they too long hold on to the keys. You know, you got to pass on the keys to someone else. They want to die with the keys in their hands to all the rooms in the building. And yeah, it frustrates me sometimes because I see young people. One time I joked with Indradyumna Swami, you know, he's not like this at all. He's very empowering. Look what he's doing. But he was taking out so many people after doing so many festivals, right? And at that time, and I was just sitting in Govardhan just chanting all the time. And he said, oh man, it's so exhausting. I say, Marge, figure it out. You need a vacation. I need a job. So sometimes, you know, and there's so many people that are so bright, especially, you know, in America. So many competent people. So it's nice. Yadubar and Vishaka, you know, Lauren, you just came a year and she's just graduated from film school, and Hillary and Krishna Kumari, you know, young, energetic, creative. You know, so now it's the mood. They're being empowered. And that inspires Krishna consciousness. They'll just be completely absorbed in devotional service. And the legacy will be carried down. Because there's two things. There's the expertise, and there's the spiritual application of it. And the spiritual application sometimes just needs a little bit, you know, there's innovation and there's tradition. And it's a very, very fine line. You know, there's innovation where you think so creatively. And then there's tradition, which empowers one. And sometimes tradition doesn't exactly fit into your creative mood. And sometimes innovation doesn't exactly fit into your tradition. And very, very intelligent people, they know the balance between both. You can be as creative and innovative as you want, but you have to be empowered by the disciplic succession. And we see people who we really, at least in this Sangha, we admire, are people who have that kind of balance, where they know how to step out of the box without leaving the box. And even in the Bhagavatam, you know, Vyasadeva, he's glorified for his realization. And they're all eager to hear. No, Sutta Goswami, you know, the sage of Namasharanya, asked him 6 questions. And the last question was, now when Krishna has left the planet, where is knowledge and religion maintained? And he says, it's in the Bhagavatam. It's as brilliant as the sun. And he says, I was there. I heard it and I realized it. And then the sages of Namasharanya, led by Sutta Shonaka Rishi, was so excited that they went, Sutta, Sutta, Mahabhaga. Sutta, Sutta. Technically speaking, from an editorial standpoint, get rid of the one Sutta. But in enthusiasm, you can repeat many. And why is he enthusiastic? Because he was hearing from someone who's realized. And what does realization mean? That there's such a deep understanding of a subject that you can repackage it. If you don't have realization, you do one of two things. You either keep it in the same form that you've heard it, even though no one else can understand that language. Or you change the form and you lose the meaning. It's kind of like you know, you've heard a message in English, and then you go to Russia and you give the same message in English, word for word, according to the Brit, but no one understands your language. But language is not just a different language, it's a frame of reference. So in the same language, you can be speaking English and the person doesn't understand. Join Krishna consciousness, come back, you know, you see your mother, and your mother says, "My son, my son, my son." You say, "Well, I'm not the body and you're not my mother." I mean, you heard it in one context, but to communicate it in another context. Okay, I'm going to give you the archetype worst example of communication in the world. I was in one small dysfunctional family, dysfunctional temple. Right? And I came to Mangalartik and I was the only person there. So the temple president got up and closed his eyes and went like this. Today we'll have an organizational meeting and I was the only person sitting in the audience. And because people make announcements in temples, and he was the temple president, he made all the announcements. What?
For the benefit of the devotees.
For the benefit of the devotees. So, anyway, so back to my pet peeve. People need to be empowered. And I thought about this. What is empowerment and what is disempowerment? And what empowerment means, really, is that you really recognize a person's abilities, encourage that, and now think of Prabhupada, how empowering he was. He was so empowering. That's how the movement spread. He didn't hold on to the keys. He gave so much enthusiasm for people to do things. And then you facilitate that person's service. And then, within the context of a greater social body or organization. So you recognize, you encourage, you facilitate, and then you discuss the parameters. What is disempowerment? You start with the parameters. You can't preach here, and you can't do this, and you can't do this, and work in this context and that context. So Prabhupada was very expert. It's not that organization and institutions are not important, but it has to be in a certain context. One scholar in India gave me an example. He said, institutions are like water. They keep a boat open. So water has a great function if you want to go on a boat. But if the water gets in the boat sinks. So, empowerment, right? I mean, people were just being sent and all over the world and I'll just throw in one other pet peeve. Management. Management means to delegate authority and keep responsibility. It doesn't mean to delegate responsibility and keep authority. Because that is so disempowering. When you're given a job, but the authority is someplace else to make the decisions. So anyway, the example of our Guru Parampara from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Srila Prabhupada is empowerment. You know, people come, they have abilities, they have qualities. It's our business, facilitate them, encourage them. And then you have that effect that Prabhupada had, you know, that things, people were enlivened to do so much service. Okay, now what I'm going to do is describe Lord Chaitanya's empowerment. And so here it is. With great respect, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested Advaita Acharya give Krishna consciousness, devotion to Krishna, even to the lowest of men. Then Nityananda Prabhu comes. And he gets a similar order. Go to Bengal and without restriction, manifest devotional service to the Lord, Krishna consciousness. He tells them that. Then Srivas Thakur is a householder. He said, perform congregational chanting and be assured that I will dance in your presence. You will be able to see this dancing and not others. And then give a message to my mother that I have taken food when she's offered food, and I took sannyas, and it was the act of a madman. So Srivas Thakur, he said, he gave him the service, whole kirtan in his house. And every night, in Srivas Angam, next to where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's house was, every night, 12-hour kirtan. With the greatest kirtaniers in the world. One of my favorite stories is I took this New Yorker. I mean, this guy is so New York that he once went to my birthday in New Jersey and he had withdrawal symptoms from cement. And literally, he fainted. He had to be carried out and be brought back to New York City. I'm not kidding. What? And somehow he showed up in Mayapur. I don't know how the brahmacharis somehow. He was the patron. He was the original patron for the Bhakti Center. He was so generous. He was a businessman and he was just so generous. That he had a two-bedroom apartment in the middle of Manhattan. And he was such a generous person that I remember we had a birthday for him and Radhanath Swami came to his birthday to glorify his altruism. But when he came to Mayapur, I remember the scene. We were approaching Srivas Angam. And he was just so blown away that this was the place where the Sankirtan mission began. He just looked at me and he said, this is the place. This is the place where the Sankirtan mission began. This ain't normal. In my language, that meant it was really high. So then he informed everyone, just hear about pure service rendered to Krishna by Raghava Pandit. Indeed, Raghava Pandit is supremely pure and highly accomplished. Then he began to glorify one of his devotees. Why? Because Raghava Pandit, his service to the deity, there's a whole story where in the highest form of deity worship, you understand that the deity is God. And you want to please God, so you really want to offer the best. So he used to go, like, I don't know, walk 5 miles or something to get the special coconuts. Now, I had a coconut here in Puri. It was okay. And I'm not saying the coconuts in Bengal are better. But there are differences in coconuts. And I had a coconut in Bengal after we came back, maybe from Srivas Angam, Lakshmi and a few others with me. And I started drinking the sweet coconut. And it had an unlimited bottom. I was just a unlimited bottom coconut. It was so good. So he used to get these coconuts, and his servant brought the coconuts in, and it touched the top of the door. And he understood that when people walk, the dirt from their feet creates dust, and the dust goes up. So he felt it was contaminated. And he went all the way back and got the coconut. Prabhupada said, this isn't a cleaning phobia. This is bhakti or devotion, to offer the best. You really have that. Then Shivananda is saying, come every year and bring all my devotees with you to Gandicha festival. I also request you to maintain them all. Take care of Vasudev Dutta. So he gave, this person was a manager. And when the devotees had to come to Bengal, they walked. And they had to go through different Muslim sections and pay off people and arrange the accommodations and the food. And he would do that. That was his absorption. And amazing. And then there was Vasudev Dutta. He was so advanced. It's not the symptom of advancement, but in this case, he couldn't do accounts. So he took him to manage his finances. He's so good. Shastra, wake up. No, I wanted to glorify you, but he goes to Mangal Arati every day at Tota Gopinath. So talking about Shivananda saying, so initially during the festival, we used to call him Shivananda Shastra, because every year, he would, that's how it became a festival for donations only, because he started it off and he would, give a large donation every year, a couple of thousand dollars. And even though the economy in America is tanked and affected him very heavily, he still contributes substantially to the festival. So that's so nice. And then there's residents from Kulinagram. And, he told those residents, maybe they're poor villages or something, bring silken rope for Jagannath. So maybe they had silk there. Ahimsa silk, of course. and bring ropes. And then he talked about their village. Because in their village, there was someone called Gunaraj Khan, and he made this simple prayer that became so famous all over Bengal. It's Nandanandana Krishna Mora Pranana Evakya Vikainu Tana Hoita. Nandanandana Krishna Mora. Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, is my life and soul. So he made this one statement, Nanda Nandana Krishna Mora Prananath, that Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, my life and soul. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, by this statement, I am sold into the hands of the descendants of Gunaraj Khan. To say nothing of you, even a dog living in your village is very dear to me. And then he turned his attentions to three persons, same family, Mukunda, Raghunandana, and Sri Nirahari. And he looked at Sri, and he said, they answered, one is the father, and who is the son? He said, who is the father? Who is the son? Because father and son is biological, but father and son also means, who is more advanced, who is more mature. Just another story to keep you all awake. And the last day, I'm particularly intoxicated, so I don't know what I will be saying. Please forgive me. Every day I have my birthday. They say Vyas Puja. So my family, some of my family sometimes comes. So, one year, my older brother came. And I don't know. I mean, he's got a big kind of belly, and he's got a walrus mustache, and his hair is gray. I don't know if you all understand the language. He sometimes looks a little bit like a schlump, but anyway. Okay, so so no one knows who he is, and he's sitting in the back. And part of the function is that, you know, people offer homage to their teacher. At the end, they say, would anybody like to say something? And all of a sudden, you hear a voice in the back. He's like, I'd like to say something. And then I was relieved. At least it wasn't my mother. You want more comedy? My Vyas Puja, you know, so they, you know, there's a Pushpanja, they were offering flowers. So my mother comes, she's 92, and, you know, she's walking up there with the cane or something. And each year she does something wild. So one year she decides to take pictures of everybody offering the flowers. So she's standing right in front of me. And I'm sitting on the thing like this, you know, accepting the kind of homage and going, not now. Mom. And then the last year, she wanted to take a picture. She insisted on putting one five-year-old girl on the seat next to me so she can take a picture. But anyway, my brother... My brother got up, and then somehow he glorified me. I don't know what he was talking about. But one thing he said is, he said, you know, he is the older brother. I am the younger brother. Because he recognized somehow or other by, like my father would say, he paid me the highest compliment in the local language. I have a younger brother, I have an older brother. And he just looked at me and he said, son... He said, I have three sons, and you're the only one with his head screwed on right. So I kind of figured, well, why is that? Right? What's the difference? The difference is I'm connected in a line of transcendental, I have knowledge. Sometimes people, how do you come to Krishna consciousness? Well, there's many ways that you come to Krishna consciousness. But one thing that produces faith is coming in contact with life authority. And people realize it. If they're not prejudiced, they'll realize it after a while. That my family realizes on any subject, I have knowledge, I'm connected. Especially basic things of how to live. And they see the results of the fruit in my character. So even my father, who wasn't so happy, after a while had to make that recognition. Who is the father? Who is... So he's saying that to them. And then he gives them different services. There were three people. One was a physician. He told them to work in the world. One was a pujari. He told him to worship the deity. And I think one was like a monk. He told him to be in the ashram. So different people have different propensities. And that's the beauty of bhakti. The beauty of bhakti is, you know, what you have, you keep to a certain extent. There are parameters, but you give to Krishna. And that's why, even though I'm a sober monk, I can still do stand-up comedy. What would repression accomplish? Okay. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very happy just to speak of the glories of his devotees. Indeed, when he spoke of their glories, it was as if he had many faces. Oh, so he told Mukunda... He was the royal physician. This person was so advanced. He was in the world, but he was so advanced. When Lord Chaitanya, they took out a peacock feather to the fan Lord Chaitanya, and the peacock feather was an inspiration to remember Krishna, and he immediately fainted. So he was so advanced. He was in the world. And he said, Raghunandana, worship the deities. And he said, there's two types of flowers, Kadamba flowers, that, you know, you go every day, this tree will give two. So you stay. You just worship the deities. The test of Krishna consciousness is not what you do, but how absorbed you are in it. And we've seen that so many times, right? What's the name of that lady that would make the sweets in Bhaktivedanta Manor? What? Kalangana, right? This lady would dedicate herself to make sweets for the deities. And if you ever got one of her sweets to the deities, it was inconceivable, the subtleties and the flavors and how it was. Completely absorbed. I'm thinking in New York, anybody ever hear of the donut plant? Okay. There's a guy that dedicated himself to Prasad distribution. I mean, dedicated himself. And he came from a family of bakers. And he dedicated himself to making the perfect vegan donuts. I mean, he's so successful. Right? We're talking, Bryn, you remember we were talking, we had that kirtan where everyone met in Union Square Park with Vishwambar and Gauravani and so many other people that you would generally never see on kirtan. We had this huge kirtan, and then the kirtan went to the streets. And it was kind of pretty impressive because the people doing kirtan were just like the people outside watching. And then there was one other scene that was kind of an anomaly that I told Devamrita Swami about it. And he came with about 10 brahmacharis. So when we came, he was watching and there was all these people, you know, just dressed in ordinary ways doing ecstasy. And, you know, usually it's kind of like the people in saffron are there and the people in the clothes are watching. This one is the people in clothes were doing the kirtan, the people in saffron were watching. And that kirtan, it went down the streets of New York and it wound up at the donut plant, which is in the Chelsea Hotel, you know, one of them. And I remember as we came in, he had this big video, and the video was just playing the kirtans of the Mayapuris. And then he invited everyone in for the donuts. But when you talk to him, his meditation is, he's telling me on Govardhan Puja, he saw this and how to make a donut that looked like a stone on Govardhan Hill and cream filled and glazed and meditating constantly. But he gets the blessings of the Vaishnavas. Because all in his heart is perhaps he came to Krishna consciousness and got some prasadam and he wants to give it to the world. Name is Donut Mark. So people become absorbed. And then in this way, then he saw these two brothers, Sarvabhauma Vaschapati, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Vaschapati Vidyapati. No, Vaschapati. What? Vidyapati Vaschapati. No? What? Vidya Vaschaspati. Good. So there's two brothers, and they're both scholars. And he looks to one, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he said, you worship Daru Brahman. And he looks to Vidya Vaschaspati, you worship Joel Brahman. Brahman means God. God in water is the Ganga, and God in wood is Jagannath. So even that subtlety was there. And then Murari Gupta. And he said, and Murari Gupta is such an interesting story because Krishna consciousness is so individual that we each have an individual relationship with God that awakens at a particular time. So people that come in line to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and get initiated in this line their Ishtadev is the arrangement of God is to assemble the people on this planet that have that Sukriti that are connected with Radha and Krishna. But he was a Ram Bhakta. He was a Ram Bhakta. So basically he was figuring, okay, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he's giving Radha Krishna, I should become a Radha Krishna Bhakta. So he's thinking of giving up Ram. And then at night he began to cry and cry and cry because he was torn in half. He was torn in half. And then, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just, no, glorified him. He said something like, worthy is that person who doesn't give up his master or something. So he said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu looks at him. So imagine the bhava or the scene in this. Because that's also so much love. The teacher is empowering one, recognizing one. So there's so much love, it's just churning. And Gaur Leela is Krishna Leela in just this accessible form. So there's just an exchange of rasa, affection. And in the assembly of all the Vaishnavas, so they're just being over flooded. Sometimes when the devotees would see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and they'd come to greet him, and they would garland him, and he was so beautiful and very tall, and Ajanu Lambita Bujo Kanikavi Taro Sankirtanaika Pitaro Kamalaya Taksho Vishvambaro Dvijavaro Yugadharma Palo Vande Jagat Priyakaro Karanavatara Ajanu Lambito Bujo. He had arms that were very long. Kanikavi Taro. And a golden complexion. Ajano Lambito, Bujo, Kanikabito, Sankirtanaika Pitaro, Dr. Fakir Mohan. He gave me a really good. Anyway, he was speaking on Lord Chaitanya, and there's a verse. Anarpita Charim Charat Kurunayaba Tirna, never be forgiven for a long, long time. This spontaneous love for God, where there's no obligation or duty in the ultimate sense, because you're not dealing with a superior. Krishna comes. It's a very high thought, but Krishna comes as a cowherd boy. So you can be friends. You can be parent with God. But when God is very high, it's love, but there's an obligation to it. Because whenever you do it to a superior, there is rules with how you have to behave. So whenever there's some obligation or duty on the highest sense, and I would say if I have that love, I should only be so lucky. But in the highest sense, right, there's obligation, there's duty, and there's distance. So the love that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed, Anarpita Charim Charat Kununayaba Tir Nakala Samarpiyatam Unatojvala Rasam Swabhaktisham. He gave this unatojva, this love of Radha and Krishna, and such intimacy, he's given Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Dr. Fakir Mohan was speaking on that verse, anarpita, never before given, and he gave like 10 reasons why never before given. I should have asked him here, you know. No one ever gave mantras publicly, no one ever gave this love, no one ever did this, no one ever distributed, you know, so widely. But then he also said, why doing kirtan gives some extra absorption and extra advancement in spiritual life? And he said, Sankirtanaika Pitaro, that Lord Chaitanya is the father of Sankirtan. So when you want to please the father, then serve the child. So when you do Sankirtan, you're not only doing an absorption, but you're pleasing the father of Sankirtan, which is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so you get his mercy. So he said, I accept Murari as my life and soul. When I hear of his humility, it breaks my heart. And We did have, you know, this, Hari Kirtan asked that question about Vedic culture. If you have time, I'd like to throw in something on that. But also seeing what actually it is when it's not covered by so many external influences. And remember when we were in Tuaco together, Hari Kirtan and Lakshmi Nisringa and myself, one temple. It was very successful. We once made a list. In 3 years, 96 people came to Krishna consciousness. It was very successful. I remember. And there was a person there named Krishna Mohan. He was an older Indian gentleman. And really the embodiment of that culture. And I remember sometimes, you know, he would write poetry glorifying the devotees. All these, and all the young people that came that were kind of punks, they all used to love this guy, and he used to write poetry glorifying their devotion. And I remember sometimes he'd pay obeisances and beg for mercy. So I had a disciple, Vraj Kishore, and he said, I never understood before how humility can break the heart. But when you see this man in humility, and he was a doctor. He was a doctor in Mathura in 1950. Humility would break your heart. So Lord Chaitanya felt that way. And then he said, Vasudev Dutta. And Vasudev Dutta was such a humble Vaishnav that he prayed that he would accept the sufferings of all conditioned souls and let them go back to Godhead. He was the emblem of compassion. And he said to transfer their karma on my head. And then Lord Chaitanya said, I glorify Vasudev Dutta with 1,000 mouths. In this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described the good qualities of his devotees one after another. He then empowered them and bid them farewell. Due to impending separation from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the devotees began to cry. The Lord was also morose due to separation from the devotees. So this should be the effect of real Vaishnav Sangha. That we develop some attachment to the people who have opened their hearts to us in an environment that facilitated that. Now, after one of the Puri retreats, I felt so enlivened that I wrote something called What is Vaishnav Sangha? And it was based on what I was felt we were experiencing together. So I wrote what it is. And there's just different points, so listen carefully. Vaishnav Sangha is an assembly of devotees mutually dedicated to the assembly's objective, the glorification of the Supreme Lord. As all members of the Vaishnav Sangha are focused on that objective, personal objectives become secondary. Although the leaders and senior Vaishnavs may help guide the Sangha and are appropriately respected, all participating members are deeply and equally valued as essential members of the Sangha. Vaishnav Sangha is spontaneous, as much as practical, hierarchical or corporate structures of authority are not externally imposed on the Sangha, but manifest genuinely out of the feelings of natural attachment and respect for authority within the Sangha. The channel of relationships in a Vaishnav Sangha is open due to the trust among its members.
Sangha members thus get the maximum benefit from each other's insights, including the realizations of its more spiritually mature members. As mercy flows so freely in a Vaishnava Sangha, a Vaishnava Sangha naturally inspires humility in its members, which is the natural response to mercy. The activity, service of a Vaishnava Sangha are born from a humble mood of service and thus truly become seva or devotional service. As the members of the Vaishnava Sangha are humble, they are constantly absorbed in Nam Sankirtan. A Vaishnava Sangha is confident in the mercy it is experiencing within the Sangha. The members welcome and value any visitor as long as they sincerely want to serve the Sangha's objectives. A Vaishnava Sangha does fear offenses to Vaishnavas and offenses to others. Its members deal very carefully and respectfully with everyone. A Vaishnava Sangha is thus the yoga of association, where members control their minds and lower impulses out of respect and appreciation for the association and kindness they are receiving within the Sangha. The duty of an Acharya is to create Vaishnava Sangha based on the six loving exchanges of a Vaishnava. To assist in its development is the best offering of service for his pleasure. A Vaishnava Sangha is most attractive. Sincere people will appreciate it. Pure devotees will naturally gravitate towards it. It is the basis of spreading Vaishnava Dharma. So, we have a little time, and in that time, we'll have a little time for questions, and then maybe some time for sharing realizations. Gita Nagari, yes. Yeah.
There's no one there.
Yeah, okay.
So you go around Vrindavan, which is the backside of the Parikrama path. There's Madhavan, the sitting place.
Yeah.
And I was told that he used to sit there for 3 hours and give class to an open field. So, can you explain me, which is that dysfunctional, or is that on the same level as the president?
Well, I'm not against talking to oneself. It depends what one is saying. So in one case, one was glorifying, right, Krishna. And I think if he sat down and gave the Bhagavatam class and no one was there, or if I was just sitting there, I would listen to it. But there seems to be one principle was, yes, you glorify Krishna. There's so much benefit. Even one time, Prabhupada, I think there's a story. Maybe he went to Carnegie Hall. Well, there's two stories. One, Prabhupada went to Carnegie Hall. Someone invited him. Right at the very beginning, and he's some musician, and he sat through the whole concert, and they were just confused. Why would Prabhupada go to Carnegie Hall, you know? And then afterwards, Prabhupada said, "Well, I was thinking we should have a program there. I wanted to see what it's like." But there was another one when no one came, and there was a sense that the demigods are hearing, don't think, people are not seeing. But they don't need to hear about a temple meeting. They need to hear the glories of Krishna. But yes, there's no problem with glorifying yourself. Anybody else have a question? Drista and then, yes.
You were talking about hierarchy.
Yeah.
And then, in the Sangha, when it's developed naturally, it's healthy. And I think that the example of the temple president is strict, it's sort of like
Yeah.
How Yeah. How can it be realized? Because that seems to be the area where everybody has a problem.
I'll tell you a story. We were moving on from one temple president to another in Vrindavan. And everyone knows that the management of Vrindavan is cursed. For many, Prabhupada said, I think, or something. It's just very difficult to manage there. It's so complex, right? So, Dinabandhu was the president, and we're moving on to Kadamba Kanada. So we wanted to give a nice ceremony, and people expressed their appreciation for Dinabandhu. And then Dinabandhu told the story, right? And the story was that no one could make this donkey say no. And they were offering, $10,000 if this donkey can say no. So everyone was whispering, and the donkey would go, and then one person whispered into the donkey's ear, and the donkey went, and then they asked him, what did you ask? Well, he asked, do you want to be temple president at the Vrindavan? So I respect. It's not easy. It's easy to apply principles in a smaller, setting than a larger setting, obviously. But the principle, because, and Lakshmi will tell you, being managed, it's a volunteer organization. So you really have to concentrate on inspiration. Because it's limited how much power you have. So I think, the best leaders will be leaders who can inspire people. And even the king having the accoutrements of power, it was to make his job easier, because people respect that too. So whatever you can, but there has to be, and it depends on the context and things, a little bit ashram, there has to be more authority, obviously, And what a brahmachari is also, that, and there's different congregation, big, there's different contexts. But I think the principle is the leader has to be in the mood of service. Right? And Dr. Fakimoh, I know many people said they couldn't understand what he said. I was listening, to him more carefully, and I was right next door. But he was also talking about that. One's a temple president. I want the maha plate, and whatever it is. Your temple president. But he was saying is, that's the mood. You're the servant of the deity. And the servant of the devotees. And what that does is it creates a spirit, because it responds, of people wanting to serve. And then when you have to set the parameters and limits, you have more authority to do so. And then I think the other thing is that there has to be different churches. Because different people have different ideals. I mean, within the movement. There's Episcopalian, and there's Pentecostal, and there's different things, and people gravitate together with similar ideas. It's very hard. You come in to manage a place, and you have people with completely different cultures and ideals. That becomes a very, very difficult management. In the Bhagavatam, it says, for one to be the ruler of the world, he has to be a Mahabhagavat. Because what do you have to do when you manage? You have to satisfy everyone. And how difficult that is? So anyway, the principles here are the leadership is serving the people that are here. That's all. Madhavananda?
Thank you.
Yeah.
My humble question was, if you produce some message, type out that list of what you
Okay. Okay, I think it's already online on my website, but I will do that. I will do that. Yeah.
That's great, Maharaj.
What?
Great.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, Lakshmi and then Hari Kirtan. Good.
Yeah, you were talking a little bit about institution and its value.
Yeah.
And there's one sentence that I always meditate on, Prabhupada in Nectar of Instruction.
Yeah.
He's talking about the six loving exchanges.
Yeah.
And he says, they are the International Society for Krishna Consciousness has been established to facilitate these six kinds of loving exchanges.
And loving exchanges are? Dadati prithagrinati guyam atyachi prichite bhunte bojitecha. Loving exchanges means these six principles. I know when I give bhakti seminars to people who are perhaps not devotees, the last thing I always say is that bhakti is not just a philosophy or a conception, it's you live it in the world. And these are the principles of love. You teach or explain things in confidence. You reveal your mind in confidence and learn. You give gifts. You accept gifts. You give prasadam. You take prasadam. I always remember Mother Srimati. You know, whenever you see her, there's some kind of incredible, you know, living in that world of bhakti. She's very advanced spiritually, but practically, there's always some gift. If I list all the gifts that I got from her, recently I got a gift. It was just came to my room, which is rare because you hardly ever see her. And there was a laminated poster of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta's handwriting, because Prabhupada would sign his letters, "Your ever well wisher." So that comes from Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, who signed his letters, Nitya Shirvadika. Ashivad, Nitya.
Eternal.
One who is eternally giving blessings. So beautiful. What a gift. Nitya Shirvadika, Bhakti Siddhanta's handwriting, and then the translation. So it is. We should do that. We should think of ways to exchange with people. You know, just normally. So I think Vaishnavas do that. And the inquiry. And I think that's what creates a good Sangha here. It's nice, the mix of people asking questions to others, inquiring, teaching others. And then, of course, the Jagannath Prasad. And I have to say, the devotees from, mostly they were from Mayapur, mostly adults studying with Bhakti Vidya Purna Maharaj, they really knew how to serve prasadam. And it's so pleasant. So pleasant. You know, in that culture that has gone awry, you know, the culture would be, even if one person was eating, another person would serve. Just for the exchange of love. And that was a nice thing also about Indian culture. The culture of cooking. The culture. I wrote an article, The Mind, the Mother, and Food. And how healthy consciousness is transferred by affection. And the main vehicle of affection is feeding. So it's very nice that you have a culture where people are always cooking fresh meals and serving the fresh meals. So that's also part of the Sangha here. You know, I remember when we were in New Jersey, Lakshmi Srinagar had a management formula. I forgot what the hierarchy was, but it was the deities, the devotees, and the dham. Was that? So the deities mean Krishna is taken care of very well. The devotees are cared for nicely. And the dham, the place, is kept very clean. And we were very successful. The place was absolutely spotless. Nice deity worship. Dham, everything we were focused on. The prasadam, the cooking, the classes, the things. And just having that was like a magnet. We didn't know where all these people were coming from. So, you know, there's certain formulas, but it takes a maha, but you got to be very advanced to satisfy a variety of people with different desires. And the Hare Krishna movement, I remember Bori John and Gopi Pranadana went to Vrindavan for Prabhupada's appearance day, right? And one person gets up and describes Prabhupada as the corporate head of ISKCON. And another person describes Prabhupada as a young Manjari, a young gopi girl. And another person describes Prabhupada as this. And another person describes Prabhupada as this. And they're kind of looking at each other as like, are they talking about the same person? There's so many varieties of people. So it's really, really difficult. But I guess the one thing is, and I think this is what you want to do, you with international leaders, Sangha. ISKCON Leadership Sangha, Lakshmi Moni and Gopal Bhatt and a few others, they're really trying. So what they're trying to do is bring all the leaders, even sometimes you have to get donations to bring the people from South America who can't come, to bring all the leaders together and associate and hear from other people what they're doing. And it's a difficult task. But there's no substitute for what a real leader is. Training leaders. You know, and they're so rare. But everything depends on a leader. So you have to train up leaders, you know. That's it. You have to find people and empower them. And it's so hard, as you know, because sometimes people are just in positions of power because they're loyal, dedicated, and bureaucratic. And that's what a bureaucrat is. They're necessary. They keep the structure, but they put the structure before anything. So what becomes important to them is someone's following the structure and the rules and not moving. And when you hear that, the psychology, when you have talents to offer and all that you're hearing about is, well, yeah, you can do this, but don't do it here and report to here and fill out this form and do it, you know, stand on your head a few times and a 5-year waiting and then you get this and you hear that. And psychologically it just has an effect of just draining. You know? Where if it's the opposite, you start with, wow, you can do this. You know? And here's how you can do it. And not look at what people can't do. Look at what they can do. I've just got to add this story about Indian culture or the way they think that disturbs. I applied for citizenship about 25 years ago in Uttar Pradesh. So after 1 year, I heard nothing. So I send this very highly placed man to Lucknow. Go check my records. I want two questions. Has anybody else took citizenship in Uttar Pradesh, and were there any complaints against me? So the first, he comes back, he says, I got the report. Okay, the first answer. Yes, there was one other person who got citizenship in UP, Sonia Gandhi. the Italian wife of the prime minister. And I said, were there any complaints against me? I'm applying for citizenship. Look what the complaint was. Yeah, there was a complaint. You're a foreigner. So you talk about disconnect. So okay. Yeah, Hari Kirtan.
So following on the same line of questioning.
Yeah.
The accoutrements of power can be potentially irrelevant, or even oppressive, even in the hands of someone with a mood of service, if the needs of the people are not known to the leader.
Right.
So I'm wondering, in your opinion, what is the best way for a leader to, for someone with knowledge and realization, to know the needs of those who are seeking knowledge and realization?
Hmm. Well, I would say one thing. One, it has to be the nature of the leader. See, there's things I did learn in India. I have to say, being in India and, you know, recognizing, you know, the part of the culture that's so whatever it is, and then learn a lot of things from being with saintly people here, etc. And I, you know, well, I'll tell you one thing interesting. When I took sannyas, that's the formal renunciation, in a very unique situation, I was in Mayapur, supposed to take on Gaur Purnima, and then the person I'm taking sannyas from, that means formal renunciation, all of a sudden there's an emergency and he has to leave. So I'm told 3 hours before I was about to take sannyas, right? 4 hours before, 3 hours before I take sannyas, and someone's over the balcony, you're taking sannyas in 3 hours in a room on the roof. You know, so I had to kind of get ready for this big event in 3 hours. And I come in, and it was a great lecture by Satsrup Maharaj, and then he said something to me. He said, avoid politics and business. He said, because this movement needs people whom they can have faith and trust. And if you think about it, just the fact of management, right? You know, it's going to compromise that to some degree. And what to speak of business? You know, business is cheating. I mean, it's not cheating, it's authorized cheating. So, you know, I think, first of all, there has to be people that are free and empowered, that are kind of neutral and detached, that people can approach. That's one thing. And then I guess management means there are certain structures for that. You know, it's announced, it's known. And I just think of another meeting. We had this real, you know, it was like this big meeting in Gita Nagari, and it was like conservatives and liberals, you know, and they were trying to work out these issues. You know, probably it was something about the women and ISKCON and how it, and the conservatives and the liberals and the progressives and like this. And then Jayadwaita Maharaj makes a comment, right? Jayadwaita Maharaj makes a comment. And he's probably one of the strictest renunciates personally, you know? And at that time he said, you know, the problem, he said, what ISKCON needs is grandmothers. And I thought it was kind of like a brilliant thing. You know, there are these people that are advanced and mature and kind of neutral and detached that anyone can approach. And then I remember Rabindra Shroop made an interesting comment on ISKCON too. The problem with ISKCON was that Prabhupada was the only adult. So you had a society where there was one adult and all these kids running around playing Lord of the Flies. I mean, so, you know, what can you expect? So I think there has to be like a, you know, an effective, I think it's a social culture and training in leadership. You know, a good leader will create mechanisms, you know, will create mechanisms and humility. You know, the leader has to be accessible. So even if he doesn't see that, someone can come up to him and say, hey, wait a second, you know, these people are disturbed or something. So anyway, I think that's just management and leadership. Do you have any recommendation on that particularly?
Taking what I've learned from you this morning.
Yeah. Say that again.
Delegate the authority to speak to those who are seeking knowledge and realization.
Okay.
But those who have knowledge and realization retain responsibility for the philosophical.
Very nice. It's not just management, he's saying. He means in terms of spiritual authority, right? Invest that in others. Because we then have that situation. You get the guru, right? He's the authority. And he can't really take care of all the people. But he doesn't invest that authority. And it's called Siksha Gurus. that other people, and I know that. I mean, if you see in Chopati, how many disciples does Radhanath Swami have, right? But he delegates full authority to people who are counselors, so that they become those people. And those people, if they get big, they should delegate that authority. Yes. You can't maintain and keep the response. I'm responsible for all the people that, you know, whatever I initiate or I do, right? But the authority to guide them. And I know that, I'm going to say example, even with Radhanath Swami or something, you know, sometimes, you know, someone will say, I really, I'm talking to Lakshmi Moni and she's giving me, and he'll invest you with that authority, you know, tell the person, you are under Lakshmi Moni, you know, and that kind of thing is what you're recommending. Yeah. It's true. Right, yeah. Yes? Very nice. So she's saying same point, that if you're a leader, you have to empower people. But again, you just don't give them, you give them the authority, but you are still responsible. That's good.
Just one thing. You know, we see that most temple presidents have a kshatriya nature.
Yeah.
In general, because, you know, that's the nature of in a way, the nature of management.
Yeah.
And so, as far as the esoteric principles are concerned, what Kirtananda Prabhu, Harikat Kamparu, said that the senior Vaishnavas, like the sannyasins, make the final conclusion and empower the kshatriya types to actually do the management.
It's, yes, I mean, there are social principles, of course, and a large society. You really have to appreciate how much Prabhupada empowered people, because how else could he spread the movement? And therefore, there were mistakes made at the same time, but he empowered people. And the fact, I mean, you have to really respect, you know, the leadership, because somehow or other, despite so many things happening in the movement, so Prabhupada said, you know, he said, you know, my godbrothers criticized me because I gave so many young people sannyas. Right? I remember when he gave Guru Kripa and Yasodhananda Swami sannyas when they were 20 years old, 21 years old. Right? So, if you know Guru Kripa, he's a little bit, could look like a gangster, kind of. You know, he's got a, he's got a broken nose, and he's real smart. So they go and they decide that they're going to go to South India to defeat all other philosophies. So they go in and they meet the Madhva Acharya. Now, if you know the Madhva Acharyas, you can't get sannyas until they search your astrological chart that is completely suited. And there's only 16 sannyasis in their whole thing. And, no one's fell down in 500 years. And, you know, they only can bathe in a holy river. They can only, you know, they're so. So he's sitting there, the page of his Swami, and Guru Kripa looks at him and says, he challenges him, what are the three aspects of the absolute truth? and the Pajra Swami starts to laugh. So you have to admire how the legacy gets carried on. That's the whole thing. Legacy gets carried on. It didn't. Prabhupada so powerfully left, there was chaos. But how did this whole thing continue to go on? And Prabhupada is present as if before. It's so powerful. And seeing that film yesterday, you know, maybe, I don't know, we'll see. Maybe at 6 o'clock we can see another one after Madhavananda's class or something. I'd love to see Prabhupada maybe in Surat. Where, if you saw, when I was there and I was getting the BTGs of Prabhupada taking the world Sankirtan party around, and he had like the all-stars, right? Wasn't it? I remember the picture of Dinanath, right? He was like famous, and Jamuna, and there was so many people. And what? What?
Kaushalya,
and it's just so many incredible people. It's probably had the beautiful American boys and girls, and they're going through it in the pictures that were there. I don't know who took, you took those pictures? Where the devotees are just surrounded with garlands and sandalwood paste, and they're just going, and the whole city stops. And Prabhupada said Surat was like a city of devotees. It's probably one of the most pious places in the world. It's amazing. Lakshmimoni, you want to?
Well, I was just thinking about the leadership.
Yeah. That's what Hari Kirtan is saying.
But beyond the leader is the message coming down from the top.
Yeah.
Has to be being willing to hear and being willing to empower and being willing to. And I find that in Music Iskcon Leadership Summit, sometimes just getting these people together and having them understand that they are not alone, their problems are not just theirs, the successes that are going on all over the place. Because if you look on the internet too much, which is probably not very much, you tend to hear negative things, and you think that the world is black. But in reality, the world is extremely dynamic, and there's a lot of really far-out things going on, a lot of people doing amazing things for Prabhupada, and a lot of people coming into Krishna consciousness in so many different ways all over the place. And when people come together in one place, and they start talking to each other, and hearing about that, and sharing those experiences, they become enlivened and empowered and enthusiastic to go back and make things alive. So, and that was always Prabhupada's program. Come to Mayapur, come to India, get your batteries charged, go back, and change the world.
Hmm.
And one thing that has kind of morphed in that is this attitude of trying to make myself or one person, you know, whoever's speaking, comfortable or even Krishna conscious. And that idea of sacrificing, going back, and doing that, spreading it, is sort of secondary. Whereas you see Srila Prabhupada, he, like I said to you before, he went from branch to wing. You know, that he walked out of the most holy place in the world, or, you know, looking at the samadhi, and he went to New York to hear Krishna consciousness, such a sacrifice. And he inspired us to do the same sacrifice, but when we're isolated from
fetching. Association, bringing people. So answer your question, Hari Kirtan, at any level, You have to bring people together in a more informal. That's another element. You have to bring people together in a more informal environment. I always appreciated Tamal Krishna Maharaj because, you know, some people, you know, ISKCON can be, you know, the corporate structure is like an army. You know, this is your rank, this is someone else's rank, and this, and you relate to this, and you stand here, and you go here, and, you know. And I always appreciate, I mean, he was part of that, but he would always step outside of that, you know, and invite people together for prasadam, and, you know, and that's why he, you know, his attraction for Chaitanya Charitamrita, because that type of culture, you know, is not just hierarchical, you know, corporate, but people are getting together and kind of, and that type, and I think that's basically what we try to do here, you know. Like, it's not corporate, it's like everyone together, Lord Chaitanya's movement, different types of people, everyone's accommodated. So I think it's really interesting to do that. I think I want to, okay, you want to say one last thing, and then...
Yeah, lest I forget, I want to express my heartfelt gratitude to you,
Aditi.
Aditi, yeah. All the team that worked very hard to put this facility, the facility of the six loving exchanges together in a very practical form so that the devotees from all over the world, yes, devotees from all over the world could come together and not only hear Chaitanya Charitamrita, but let it. Hopefully, capture that in our heart and bring that with us wherever we may go. So, thank you. Maharaj, there was a recommendation from Drishta that you should get a spiritual retreat in Catskills. It'd be very successful. It's an inside joke, no one else laughs. All those from New York will laugh.
Well, there you go. You kind of scooped me. But that's good. No, I like it. I like it. Also others, Akinchana Krishna, Rati, so many people helping out. And I would say that the symptom of good management is that you really don't think it exists. Things go on very smoothly. When there's mismanagement, then it becomes very prominent, this management. But good management kind of, it's like the music, right? It's like the rag and the tal. It's done properly, and then it kind of dissipates to the background. So I think good management and a lot of work goes in by Gopal Jew Publications and their team here to do this. A lot of details are thought out beforehand. So, and it's been 7 or 8 years and things kind of develop and Krishna's given us this facility. We've done it in so many other places with that had strength. It was closer to the beach, the strength. You know, the disco on the bottom floor on the first day, weakness. But, yeah, when things are managed properly, the loving exchanges become the prominent thing. And when the management is not done properly, what becomes prominent is the management and not the loving exchanges. So what I'd like to do, I'm going to take a little, it's the last day, it's kind of a little bit more relaxed. Madhavananda is going to go probably just to Haridas Thakur Samadhi, it's down Seabridge Road, probably leave there about, say 10:15. I'd like to end with the kirtan, and what I'd like to do is, people just, in your mind, go to your favorite experience, your favorite place, and kind of meditate on what you felt at that time that made it your favorite experience, your favorite place. You know, I think that's, I usually do that at the end of retreats, but not this big. And at the end of that, I request you to just tell that to at least two people. Okay? At least two people. What was your favorite place? What you and why? Why? You go to a place in bhakti, you go to the place, the visual may be beautiful, the people may be beautiful, but ultimately it's what you felt there. I'm not just talking disco out. It can be in the place. Like I was sitting at the Jagannath Prasadam, and then that Kheer came. I got to tell one more story. We went to the Jagannath Mandir in Puri, in Mayapur, and they serve chop and bhog. That's 56 items. So I brought that guy from New York, right? And they have one preparation, which is a pancake rolled with coconut burfi. It's a very interesting Puri thing. And we're taking the feast, and it's like, it literally is 56 preparations. They give little of each, and each one is delectable in that. And at the end, he got the coconut burfi, and he bit it. He just held it in the air. You know, I've achieved prema bhakti.
Still the water at the end.
Okay. Ready? We'll